Hi, friends. I'm Leenie Heiss, and this is episode 94 of the Moms in Prayer podcast. We are beginning week 3 of being homebound because of COVID-19, and today was a Sunday. I will remember it forever. As you probably heard, my family moved to a Christian camp in West Michigan in October of last year. It was a huge change for Mike and our family to move from the farm to camp, especially because we have 4 kids, 3 of whom are in middle school and high school. Well, what we didn't know is that our family's step of obedience to the Lord would quickly be followed by this pandemic. If you want to hear our story, that was episode 83. But today we settled in for house church with our neighbors here at camp. The wife of this family is one of my best friends and my Moms in Prayer co-leader, Laura. Unbeknownst to us, her husband had prepared a Moms in Prayer prayer sheet for our families to pray together using the attribute, God is our fortress. So cool, right? And then he asked Laura and I to show our kids how we pray for them each week and to lead our families in the 4 steps of prayer. Y'all, I'm getting misty just thinking about it. It was so powerful to hear all of our kids pray beside us in their own way, pens like scratching over those prayer sheets. I said amen at the end, and one of our kids said, that took forever. And the other one said, that was so good. We made a prayer sheet, and it's on the website for you to use with your family. We pray with all our hearts here at Moms in Prayer that this is a powerful time of prayer and connection for you. This is a great opportunity to use some of the activities that we have available to you on our website. Show notes for today's episode and those links can be found on the Moms in Prayer website at momsinprayer.org. Just go to the blog. So relax and listen close today. You aren't going to want to miss a word. What propels a woman to leave the safety and familiarity of America and move to a country with staggering poverty and a soaring HIV rate? How do women who can't read or write pray scripture over their children, homes, and communities? And why should you be concerned with the plight of mothers incarcerated in countries around the globe? Well, friends, buckle your seatbelts because today's guest is a member of the Arizona State Team, an international leadership developer for the South African countries, and Moms in Prayer Global Prison Ministry Liaison, Kay West. That's all the introduction she needs. Well, Kay West, welcome to the Moms in Prayer podcast.
Thank you so much, Lee. I'm really excited to be here with you.
It is fun. I just told you, your Moms in Prayer famous. All of my friends are like, wait, you haven't met Kay yet? And I was like, no, I haven't met Kay. Kay, introduce yourself to our listening friends.
Hey, I'm Kay West and I'm embarrassed, but thank you, Lee.
Kay, what's your role in Moms in Prayer right now? Give us a little bit of context to our conversation.
I love Moms in Prayer, so I really have 3 roles with Moms in Prayer. I'm on the Arizona State Team, so huge shout out to Liz and my group there. But more to the point of this podcast today, I have 2 roles. One is as an international leadership developer for Southern Africa, and then my other role is as Global Prison Ministry Liaison.
Wow, friend, you really do love Moms in Prayer.
I really do.
Okay, so start with this. I always love this question. How were you introduced to Moms in Prayer?
I love answering that question because it's such a God story. It was about 19 years ago, and I had just been through a pretty intensive master's degree program, had 2 kids in elementary school, was running 2 businesses. Like so many of us, was a busy mom. And I was walking down the street, and my neighbor Susie, 3 houses down, stopped me, and she said, hey, Kay, why don't you come join us? We're going to pray once a week for 1 hour to pray for our kids in our schools. And I said, oh, Susie, it sounds wonderful, but, you know, I mean, I already pray for my kids, and I can't fit anything else into my schedule. So I got my mail, and I was walking back up the street, and it wasn't an audible voice of God, but it might as well have been, because I just heard him say, you really need to do this thing. And I was more mature back then, let's say, and I was kind of wrestling and, you know, is that really you? And now, come on, God, you know how busy I am. So I thought I'll go home and tell my husband and he'll say no, because he's very protective of my time. And so I went home and told my husband, John, and he's very practical. He said, well, if God's telling you to do it, you better do it. So
wow.
I went the next week and of course fell in love with doing the four steps of prayer and praying in one accord and praying scriptures for my kids. And so I've been with Moms in Prayer ever since.
I love that story. It's so funny. It sounds so similar to Catherine Larson's story. And if our friends who are listening have heard the podcast with Catherine, it's she said no. And then God's like, yoo-hoo, it's God, just in the Catherine voice. So it's so funny how we think we cannot possibly cram one more thing into our schedules. And then this ends up being one of the very most important decisions we make.
Absolutely. This ministry has been life-changing for me in so many ways. And just, you know, I also have to say, I was one of those shy women who was afraid to pray out loud. And, well, God does this thing. And so here I am now in this position. So,
well, let's talk about how God got you into this position. You are serving as an international leadership developer.
Yes.
For South Africa, right?
Southern Africa.
Southern Africa.
13 countries in Southern Africa, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, Kay, you obviously have a heart for the world. How did God start to do that? At what point did you realize that God had given you a cross-cultural heart?
Gosh, early on, because I grew up on the Mexico border, but really he kind of flamed that passion into being when my husband and I were called to the mission field in Southern Africa. We were very late bloomers, but that was about, gosh, it's been 12 years now when he called us to a little tiny country called, used to be called Swaziland, now it's Eswatini. And we served there for 6.5 years in that country and then also in the country of South Africa. And I just fell in love with international ministry. I fell in love with African women. I fell in love with getting to share about Moms in Prayer and training leaders there. And I can't tell you how blessed I feel. I get to pray with women in different languages and they pray for me. And I just feel incredibly blessed.
It's rich. Tell us how you and your husband ended up in Swaziland.
God. I went with a friend in 2008. That was another matter of prayer because I knew there was no way my husband would ever let me go internationally without him. And, you know, there was money issue and all of that. But God provided. God spoke to my husband's heart. Again, you know, God. John said, if God's calling you, you need to go. So I went with his friend and I came back and told my husband, God's calling us to sell everything and move to Africa to be missionaries.
And how did that
That's what
work?
He said, yeah.
How did that work, Kay?
Again, my husband said, well, God needs to tell me.
Right.
And he did, you know, a couple of years after that, and God provided him and sold everything, moved to Africa.
And what did you do there?
Oh, thank you for asking, goodness. You're talking about all my loves, my joys. We served in a country that has the highest rate of AIDS in the world. And I know AIDS is not really in the forefront of news anymore, but still very much a reality there. The population we served had about 75% AIDS. And
no,
there were
say
other,
that again, Kay.
About 75% of the population was dealing with either HIV positive status or AIDS, full-blown AIDS.
Kay, that's mind-blowing.
Yeah. Yeah, it still is. So there were other mission organizations working with the kids, obviously a lot of orphans, a lot of widows, that kind of thing, which of course allows us to serve. But it soon became apparent that really no one was ministering to the women. It's the women in that country who really are the caretakers of the children. And so God just put it on our hearts that that was our niche. That's where we were to serve. So I taught Bible studies in about 18 different communities, did hospital ministry, just, you know, lived alongside and worked with these women, learned far more from them than they ever learned from me. We built some orphanages, helped build widows' homes, just lots of that kind of thing. Started small businesses. And of course, I got to train moms to pray through Moms in Prayer.
So rich. Were your children with you while you were there?
Our oldest son was an adult and chose to stay here and help take care of my elderly mom, and she kind of took care of him too. Our younger son went with us. We were still homeschooling at that point, so our younger son, Jeremy, went with us for a couple of years and then moved back here and got married.
Hmm. So, Kate, you've seen women all around this globe now. What do women in American Moms in Prayer groups have in common with Moms in Prayer groups around the world?
Well, I think it's our beloved founder, Fern Nichols, who said our hearts beat the same, you know, around the world for kids. You know, Let me backtrack with me a little bit. When I was a young mom, my kids were both diagnosed with special needs. And I remember saying to God, you know, this is not the way I scripted my life, and crying out to him and realizing in that moment that I had no control. And that was a beautiful moment, because then God was able to reassure me that he was in control, and that he's good, and that he's loving, and that he has a wonderful plan, and a wonderful plan for my kids' lives. And so I think as moms, we all, or most of us, come to that point at some time, you know, things aren't going the way we wanted with our kids. And we realize we desperately need God. And so women all over the world are the same in that, especially, you know, where there's so much poverty and disease. Women absolutely know that their next meal is going to come from God, if it's going to come at all. And so maybe we learn from them the absolute desperate need that we all have for God. But we're the same.
Yep. One heart that is desperate to see that our kids love and follow Jesus and have enough. Kate, it must have been heartbreaking walking alongside women who were losing children too.
Yeah, it's still heartbreaking. We still have ministry there. I still get to go back once a year, and it's hard. You know, my faith was tested there, greater and bigger than it's ever been tested here. But I also saw God working in so many beautiful, miraculous ways. So he's real, he's alive, and he's working in women's and children's lives all over the world, even through the very hard things.
Through the very hardest things. I have gone to Haiti a number of times, get to spend a lot of time there. And one of the things I couldn't imagine was how moms and prayer groups would work if you didn't have online to access prayer sheets.
Right.
Right? Right. So right. There are some complications when women don't have access to paper. So tell us what that has looked like. What could a group look like in some of the South African countries who don't have access to copy machines and printers?
Thank you for asking that. Well, if you can picture a group of women sitting on grass mats under a tree, and a lot of the women that I actually trained and worked with and lived with and loved are illiterate. And so there's that whole aspect too. So we did a lot of, we have a little tiny booklet that we can use that has pictures of the four steps of prayer. And so I use that a lot to train. And usually there would be one or two women in the group who actually could read and had a Bible. And so they would do the scripture part of it. That usually ended up being the leader just by default. They did a lot of writing in the dirt with sticks. And you know, you just make it work. The important thing is they're going through the four steps, they're praising God, they're confessing, they're thanking God. And if you want to hear thanksgivings come from women who have absolutely nothing, you will cry. You've heard it in Haiti. And then praying for their kids. And that's the important thing. And that's what I always told them.
Kay, what do you do now that you're stateside again? How does an international leadership developer do their ministry?
Okay. I'm really grateful because most of the women that I'm able to deal with do have at least a cell phone. And so we are able to communicate. So we do a lot of texting, once in a while, phone calls. As I said, I'm blessed to get to go back once a year. And so I do a lot of just equipping and encouraging with leadership when I go back. Just a lot of day-to-day communication, mostly through texting, emails.
And what kinds of things are you doing with them?
Encouraging, answering questions, you know, especially for those who, we know that when you look at your cell phone, the website just doesn't look the same as when we have a nice big screen. And so it's just a lot of coaching them through the basics, encouraging them to keep the ministry pure, and then just troubleshooting because, you know, we need booklets. We don't have enough booklets worldwide. We don't have enough, they don't have enough money to afford booklets worldwide. There's just that kind of stuff. And so it's just troubleshooting. How can we do this? And then a lot of prayer. A lot of prayer. These women have really hard lives. And so just praying and loving on them. And they pray for me too. It's a daily back and forth.
It's rich. Another aspect of your ministry and our ministry at Moms in Prayer is a prison ministry. And our friends will remember that just a couple of weeks ago, we were talking to the American team that works with prison ministry. What does that look like in a global capacity, Kay.
Yeah. Huge shout out to Nancy and Val and their team. They do a great job here in the U.S. But actually, when I was living in South Africa, I was working on getting into one of the prisons there to share Moms in Prayer, and looked at the paperwork that we use here in America, and it just wasn't a good fit internationally. And so I asked the headquarters if I could kind of revise and work on the paperwork just to make it more internationally friendly. And that's kind of how I fell into this role, actually. And so globally, we've had groups in prisons for years and years and years now, long before I came onto the scene. I don't go into the prisons myself, obviously. Again, my role is equipping, encouraging, training anybody who wants to be prison ministry volunteer nationally and internationally. There's a pretty intense screening process that has to happen. And so I can walk with women through that. And prayer. We're prayers, right? We're praying women. And so I pray a lot for open doors into prisons. We have women in quite a few countries trying to get into the prison system even. It's not easy anywhere. I have to learn a lot about the prison systems in the different countries because there's a lot of commonalities, but there's a lot of differences too. And then back to prayer.
I'm sure our friends are going to have drawn some conclusions about prisons outside of the United States, but they are very different than prisons in America. Tell us about some of those differences.
Prisons here are not pretty, but there is a lack of food in a lot of prisons. There's a lack of medical equipment, supplies, help in a lot of prisons. And then just to give you an idea about the women that are being in prison worldwide, it's often for petty things. It's often for, you know, dealing drugs, trying to support their children, or prostituting themselves, trying to just, you know, again, provide for their children. Can I share a couple of stories of
please, real
things
please
that are happening? We have one, and I just want to be careful. I'll just give continents, but we have one dear friend of mine who's a Moms in Prayer contact person in a Southern African country, and her father is in prison for political reasons. So we have a lot of political prisoners, women as well as men. We have a precious story of another gal from an African country who was drunk and was fighting with another woman in public. She got put into prison for 6 months for that. But our prison ministry volunteer went in and she learned about Jesus and learned about Moms in Prayer, and she gets out next month and she's just really, really excited to, she's been part of Moms in Prayer, and so she's learning because she wants to start a Moms in Prayer group when she gets out. Another country in South America, and this is pretty common too, small children especially are in the prisons with their moms. They live in the prisons, and this prison ministry volunteer who had been going in for quite some time, leading a Moms in Prayer group and helping them with their Moms in Prayer group, decided for Christmas she was going to have a Christmas party for the children. And she did, and she invited a clown who was also an evangelist, child evangelist, to go in. And so a lot of children got led to the Lord. Those are some of the ways that it looks different. Women go to prison for almost, you know, nothing. Things that women would go to jail for, maybe for a couple of days here. They are in prison for months and months and months. There's not the infrastructure there to help with children outside. There may not be a family structure there to take care of these kids. So it can be pretty rough.
I imagine that there are women listening and they have a tug to serve women of other cultures and in other countries, but they don't know what that looks like, or even where to begin. What would you say to her?
Well, for those of us here in the United States, I would say, please, please pray. Pray for open doors into the prison systems. Pray for volunteers worldwide to have a heart and a passion to answer, you know, God's call to go into the prisons. I really believe that this global prison ministry is going to grow exponentially. So I would say, please pray for me, for wisdom in just equipping and encouraging the volunteers. Obviously, just like we always say, it costs money. Booklets cost money. We would love to get more booklets into the prisons. So, you know, if you want to donate, do the $20 a month thing, or $2 a month, or $200 or whatever, that can be huge. For anyone who's listening internationally, if God's putting it on your heart, this is something that he would have you to do, you know, please, please contact me. I think we'll have contact information available. Just lots of ways. Just pray and ask God. You know, if you ask him how, he will tell you how he wants to use you if you ask with a surrendered heart.
I love that you say that. It's my job to say every week that women have the opportunity to give to the life-changing ministry of Moms in Prayer. And I think it just rolls off the tongue and people may miss that. But Kay, providing Moms in Prayer resources to women who are under-resourced really can be life-changing and change the trajectory of a family. Like, Moms in Prayer is teaching women in other countries about Jesus for the first time, but certainly about prayer too, right?
And change women's hearts and children's hearts and families, and it can change the trajectory of a community, of a country, of the world. You know, I mean, this is huge.
Yeah, this is huge. So I love that. But there are also ways to get involved. So if people are going on missions trips already with their churches or whatever, they're able to take Moms in Prayer resources as well, right?
Absolutely. So please, if anyone's going on a mission trip, contact us, let us know. We'd be thrilled to let you know what we have in that country already and what the needs are.
That's a fantastic opportunity. Kate, are there any stories you were helping to tell today?
I just want to encourage everyone. We get into Moms in Prayer, I think all of us, out of love for our kids, out of a need for God in our families. But I want women to see the bigger picture. God calls us to kingdom work, whether it be going, whether it be equipping and funding, or whether it be pray. And I would never say just praying. Praying is the biggest thing. So I want us to have that bigger vision. I know a lot of us have, hard things going on in our own lives, but when we get God's bigger picture, it takes our mind off of our own things, and it's glorious. It's absolutely glorious. We're part of his great big plan. So I just want to encourage women to remember that there are names and faces. You know, I was just reading numbers today, and it makes me laugh because God cares about each person. There's this long list of names and there's these numbers, but God knows all these women's names and each one is precious to him. And so I want us to have God's heart for women around the world. We may never see them face to face or know their names, but God does, and they're important.
I think that's huge. I think it's so important for us to remember that when we sit here and we download the prayer calendar from the website about globally praying, that we may never meet these people. We may never have any idea, but we can know for sure in God's economy, those prayers are useful and they're powerful and they're effective.
Yes, I agree 100%. I've seen so many answers to prayers. So, you know, anyone who's listening, please know that God does hear your prayers and that they are critical. They are vital.
It's so great. Well, Kate, I'm going to have all the links to the things that we've talked about in the show notes. I also want to put a link for your book in the show notes as well. It was endorsed by our own Kathy Armitage, and it is about your time in Swaziland, right?
Yes, it is. I never wanted to be a writer, but, you know, God did so many incredible things that I just felt compelled to write it down, to share what he had done in my heart and through us in Swaziland.
I love that. So we'll have links to that as well. If people have questions, they can get in contact with you. We have a global department that's helping serve in that way to point everybody at the continent that will be most helpful to them. So, Kate, I just want to ask for you to pray. Would you pray especially for the women that are in the South African countries today? I mean, we've talked a lot about them, but I know your heart is right there, and we would love to join you in prayer.
Oh, Father God, you have created each woman and each child so precious to your heart. And so, Father, I lift up each one to you now, each one who is hurting, who is desperate, who needs you, who needs to hear about you, who needs to know about Moms in Prayer, Lord. I pray that your light will shine, that your love will be manifest, that your peace that passes all understanding will be theirs, Father. I pray that every child in every school in Southern Africa will be covered in prayer, Lord. Help us to know creatively how to pray, how to reach out. Lord, just join women together. Let them know the power of praying together for children in schools, Lord. Let them know of your great love and the way that you use us because you love us. In the name of Jesus.
Amen. Thanks for being with us, Kay.
Thank you so much, Lee.
Good grief, I loved that interview. Kay is a gift, but don't you love how prayer has directed her to go and come home and still serve? Who knows what he'll do with you as we pray? I want to know all about it. So hashtag Moms in Prayer or at Moms in Prayer or at Leaning High so we can join the conversation about where God is leading you in the middle of this time. We love hearing from you. This week, we want to directly ask you to give to Moms in Prayer. It's so important during this time. There's so much more we want to do, and some of that's slowed down by a financial need. It's easy to jump on the website or text the word steward to 41444. It's easy. It's that easy. It's the word steward to the number 41444. Pray about it, will you, friend? Just a reminder, today's show notes are on the blog at momsinprayer.org. Moms are making the difference. Moms are making the difference. Moms home with their kids. Moms just like you. See you next week.